Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And I guess what? I guess you're waiting for the intro. Here it is.
Accept the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, his covenant's not in vain. Once his promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. His Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic Laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Welcome to the Covenant Cafe, your host Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And guess what, y'all? It's another Sunday.
It is.
Of interesting things, some sad things, some weird news that includes, check these subtitles out. I just want you guys to check out the subtitles, the titles. A man kicked out of a tournament for looking like Jesus.
Whoa, ho, 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 ho.
Stolen driveway. Someone's arrested for a stolen driveway and a feather pulled from a baby's face.
What?
Yes. These are the things you have to look forward to today.
I'm still hung up on the first one.
Yes. You know it. It's
wow.
Here. Only here you find this stuff.
Wow. Okay. All right, well, speaking of Jesus, let's get to the opening scripture. All right, so today, you know, Lord really placed them on. He put this on my heart during the week, but I thought it would just be randomly thinking. But when I prayed before the show, the Lord said this is the word for today. So the word for today, it comes from Romans 10:8-10, chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. This question somebody asked me in Walmart. They randomly asked me, they said, what must I do to be saved? And I really looked at them like, and I looked at them and told them, it's not as hard as you think. This is the scripture. The scripture says, but what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the whole guidelines of this is very simple and it's very powerful. Mind you, it does not say you must have on a suit and tie. It does not say that you must eat a certain thing. It does not even say that you must look a certain way or smell a certain way. Or act a certain way. It simply says that you must confess with your mouth. So remember before, we always speak on how life and death is in the power of the tongue. So you must speak with your mouth, confess Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that he, that God, with your heart, just like how with your heart, my heart told me to do this and this and that. Well, with your heart, you must believe that God had raised him from the dead. These two simple things is the beginning of your salvation. So, basically, in short, what must I do to be saved? Confess Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth. Believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then that change starts to happen. Now, you must do these things for, you know, later on down, as you continue walking, that change happens when you change the way you dress, you change the way you talk, you change the way you act, you change the crowd that you hang with, because you want to start clinging towards holiness. But the introductory stage is as simple as 1, 2, 3. Mouth, heart, confess, believe, confess, believe. Very simple.
Confess. You know what? And, well, it's funny that you said the word confess. Now, confess is a very big word people don't really pay attention to. It definitely can be used all the time in a spiritual realm.
True.
And also in your everyday life.
Right.
Now, like, let's say, like, if something happens and instead of you lying, just confess. That's something.
Proof.
Because when you a child, you try to lie to get out of situations.
Right.
That, you know what I mean? That's real petty. And I'm just going to walk the line this evening.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a life-threatening situation, okay, I can understand you keeping your lips closed because you're trying to protect someone or yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people, there are small situations. All you have to do is say, yeah, I did it. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to that a lot. And it's like grown tell people, tell stories about the smallest thing as if you want to whoop them.
True. And this is my thing about lying, too. I'm learning more how lying serves no purpose. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, okay, you tell a lie. If you have to tell a lie, there's something that's happening that you have to own up to. There's something going on. Like, did you do that? No, I didn't do that. Well, if you did do it, you must deal with the consequences of doing it. And basically what I'm saying is that a lie shows that we as people, we have a desire to not own up to responsibilities. We tell lies like, can you help me out? Oh, no, I'm busy. It's a responsibility. Like, if we just tell the truth, we go around the whole thing because, like, truly, like, my teacher, elementary school teacher, used to tell me this all the time. Like, a lie is going to build another lie, and it's going to keep getting to the lies be so big where it's overwhelming. And I'm really looking at it, looking at my lies in the past. Yeah, because you have to keep it up. Oh, no, I never did that. And then somebody asks you about the thing you never did, you got to make up a lie to keep the story consistent. And to be honest with you, later in line, it becomes stressful. So was that initial lie even worth it? Because once it gets bigger, the trouble is greater than it would have been if you would have told the truth in the first place. So is telling a lie worth it, really?
It's a snowball effect. Bottom line, lying is a snowball effect because when you tell, like you said, you tell one, and then you got to tell another, and then you got to tell another, and then you forget the first one because you didn't tell somebody a lie. I know. Let me tell you something. I know people who would just lie just for the sake of lying.
I understand.
I mean, like, there was a situation, like, there's an old story, and then my wife listening, she don't know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a person in my family, okay? There's a situation where we were all supposed to meet up, okay, to cook barbecue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of my family members decided to call this person that morning. Was like, okay, where are you at? We're waiting on you, blase, blase, et cetera, et cetera. He was like, he or she was like, I am on my way. And then she said, how are you on your way? And I just called you on your house phone. I'm talking to you on your house phone.
Whoa.
Incredible.
And you know what? That has to be the all-time favorite lie. I'm on my way. I'm around the corner. That lie ticks me off more than anything, to be honest with you. Because it's like, dog, just tell me so I can know how to prepare myself. Why the lie? Now, I've used that lie too, though. I ain't gonna lie. I've used that lie as well. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm on the way. just so it would please you. But that lie was unnecessary. It was very unnecessary.
But the thing, the funny part about it is, though, like, if you know that, okay, I'm on my house phone.
Yeah.
That you're on the road.
Yes.
You can't do it. If you're
it's
on
true.
Your cell phone, I understand. You
know, right.
But
yeah.
I'm walking a line here. I really think that line there is a universal thing that people say if they're running behind. Like you said, like I'm on my way, you're like, oh, you don't want to say I'm late.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I understand.
So this is the challenge of the week. It just hit me. This is going to be our challenge of the week. Our challenge of the week is we're going to tell the truth no matter what. No matter what. Because when you said, yeah, I'm late, that it spoke values to me just then. Because it's like, you know what? He's being honest, though. I can't be mad at that. I could be mad, but I can't be mad at it. You know what I mean? You got to respect that. So our challenge for the week is we're going to tell the truth. No matter how belittling it seems to us, you know, let's tell the truth. Like, do you want to go to such and such? You come with me here? Nah, I'm not really interested. Like, I'm not even going to tell you. No, I'm busy. Like, I'm not interested in going. But I thank you for offering. You know, we're going to tell the truth in love.
Yeah.
Challenge of the week.
Okay, so now I got one for you before we go on to the... Now, this one is funny, though. So, you know how we come out of 7-Eleven or your local convenience store... If someone asks you for change, you know you got change. Yeah, which means you had to tell this guy, he or she, yeah, no, I do have change, but I just don't want to give it to you.
Well, look, this is how it really gets, man, because remember I said truth and love. Like, now, this is something I do. When people ask me for change, I ask them, well, what do you plan on using it for? And they tell you, a lot of times, seven times out of ten, they tell you the truth. 7 times out of 10. Because the last guy asked me, he asked me the chance, I said, well, what do you need it for? And he said, oh, man, I just want to get me a beer. I'm going to be honest, I want a beer. Oh, I don't condone drinking. Mm-mm, nope. And I kept it moving. So, you know, that the love is that I actually cared enough to find out, well, what are you planning on doing with the money? And if he would have said something like, well, you know, my family, this and that, then I would ask, well, how long have you been dealing with this situation? You know what I mean? Basically, if you got enough time to make up a lie, you truthfully have enough time to figure out what you need the money for, because we can dig some stuff out. And because, remember, everything is an opportunity for ministry, to be honest with you. So if somebody tells you, like, well, honestly, man, I'm just trying to get some cigarettes. Well, cigarettes is bad for your health. I don't condone that. I don't think you should do it. I don't think you should smoke. So by me showing that, by me not giving you the money, I'm not giving you the money because I don't have it. I'm not giving you the money because I don't like your habits. So that's the truth behind it. So why not do that? Because it digs things out. Because you can really get to the point. Somebody be like, well, I just want to get something to eat. Well, sir, do you work? You know, you can really dig some stuff out. Do you work? Are you having a problem finding employment? Why are you asking me for money? Dig some stuff out. You know, that way it'll get to the point where your heart has no choice but to yield the truth. So it's like, I'm going to go ahead and give him money even though I don't feel like giving him money. Or I'm not going to give him money because look what he wants to do with it. I'm only enabling him.
Wow. That's
true. Yeah, so. But it was initially that was funny, though.
I mean, you just broke it down for us so people can understand. I know I'm good for, but hey, man, I ain't got no change. No one I got change. I just, you know, I think that's just second nature, unfortunately.
Yeah, that used to be my first response until, God did a lot with my heart, so I really wanted to see, well, what do you need to change for? And like I said, 7 times out of 10, it probably higher than that. But from what I've seen, more times than none, they told me the truth. I just want to get some cigarettes. I just want to get some beer. You know, I haven't ate in a couple of days. Little thing, like more times than none, I got the truth. And sometimes, if you really are in that helping mood or whatever, but you don't trust them, you can offer to go buy them something to eat. Like, well, come on, come back in with me, and I'll buy you something to eat. Because that's my whole thing. Like, I don't want to condone your habit, but I do want to see you do well. but I don't know if you're lying to me. So I'll buy you something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, there's ways around it. A lot of times we press for time, too. So, it's, you know, however the Lord guides you through that situation, but still the challenge remains the same. Let's tell the truth, but with love.
Mm.
All the time.
Wow. All right, there it is. Ladies and gentlemen. Now, what is going on in the world today?
Man, once again, I almost want to say what ain't. Check out my grammar. What ain't going on? For starters, man, I definitely want to, you know, pay condolences, tribute, just to the Sandy Hook Elementary School family, all the members, all the family, everybody connected in that small town of Newton. If you don't know what's going on, basically what happened in Sandy Hook Elementary, which is in Newton, Connecticut, on December 14, 2012, a gunman killed 20 children and 6 adults, staff members at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in the Sandy Hook Village of Newton, Connecticut, before committing a suicide. It was the second deadliest mass shooting in United States history after the 2007 Virginia Tech massacre. It was also historically the second deadliest attack in American public schools after the Bath school disaster. The gunman, identified authorities as 20-year-old Adam Lanzard, had killed his mother, Nancy Lanzard, at the nearby Newton home. Then he drove to the school and shot the students and employees before killing himself. The overall death toll was 28. Including the perpetrator himself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was basically was I mean, it was a tragic thing that that occurred, and my whole mindset from everybody that I spoke to was just to realize that even though this happened, God is still on the throne, you know, and this just it kind of wakes you up to be thankful for the people in your life, you know, and it wakes you up to be alert. Because this small town, I was looking at some of the interviews and stuff, and everybody was saying the same thing, how they couldn't believe this happened here. It's small town of Newton. Nothing happened here. Why would this happen here? That was a common thing. No one expected this. No one was prepared for this. So that kind of lets you know that the enemy, he's willing to go the distance. It don't matter where you are, what your skin tone is, where you're from, what you do for a living, who you are. It doesn't matter. So it's like, people, we have to keep our guards up. We have to be alert. And it's sad that it takes something, a catastrophe like this, to cause unity. Because now everybody's coming together to love on one another, to figure out how to stop this from happening again. And why not come together in the first place to prevent these things from happening?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waiting until it happens and then come together. Like, could you imagine if we were to show one another this kind of love before it popped off, before things happened? Because a lot of this stuff, you know, if you really look at the root of it, I haven't really looked up, nor will I look up, information on this guy, Adam Lanzan, who did the killings. But a lot of the traits are similar as far as all these massacre killers. They lack love, or they were loners. They didn't have anybody in their lives to talk to. It was just something that wasn't on point. And it's a lack of love issue all the time. So it's, could you imagine that guy that we walked by who's just sitting there and he seemed so cold-hearted, we just spoke and said hello instead of stepping over him, or, you know, we just took time out to shake hands, to give a hug. You never know where it might do. So that's the whole thing about this truth and love. When you just take time out to talk to people to find out what the root they're dealing with, what's going on with them, it could possibly change or fix a situation, whether it have been suicide or murder. You know, we can, if we add more love to these equations, there could definitely be a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a tough situation, and I definitely want to get these tough situations out before we go into some further news. The next situation I want to discuss is Jenny Rivera. Mm-hmm. I spoke on her last week about how she went down in a plane crash. And her body was missing. They didn't know if she was alive or what. Authorities have found her body, and they have returned her to her family in the Long Beach area. The thing about Jenny Rivera, she's a Mexican-American singer. It's very, very big. She's came through. I actually had some time to study her. She's been through so many things. She's a single mom of 5, I believe. She she did her thing. She grew as a businesswoman to becoming one of the top 25 powerful women in Mexican history as far as the Mexican borders go. And she accomplished a lot as a singer on NBC. She was getting ready to cross over into the American culture and everything like that. So prayers do go out to her family with this loss. But she did a great inspiration as far as for women and people in general in her time being here. So definitely that's the good news that her body was found and is returned, and you know, preparations for the funeral are at hand.
Yeah.
So
I want to actually touch on the Connecticut issue there.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, bro.
Also, which is great, which is very interesting, that the SWAT team, they arrived very quick because there are reports that saying that due to the quick timing of the SWAT team and the responders,
mm-hmm.
That's what caused him to shoot himself.
Wow.
Yes. So if they were late, and not being funny, but if they were late getting there, it would have been more than what happened, because they said he had hundreds of rounds left, live ammunition.
Wow.
Yes. So it's crazy. I don't want to say it's a good thing that it didn't go further. It's bad, period.
Yes.
It could have been a lot worse, and they, and you know, good job to those people that showed up in that timely fashion, because they saved multiple lives.
Wow.
Yes. I'm sorry. I just wanted to share that.
No, you definitely had to share that. I mean, and that's funny, because it's so often how we. And especially in our community, so often we criticize how such a bad job the police are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So often. But in this instance, because of their quick acting, children are still alive.
Exactly.
And there's always a silver lining somewhere. And that's a beautiful thing. So I'm definitely glad that you shared that information.
Yes, no problem.
You sound like one of the officers then. Nah, no problem.
No problem at all. What's the next story we was going to share?
All right, so let's go ahead and go on a little more. This is a subject that I definitely want to hear your opinion on. It kind of, you know, y'all know me, I'm the radical Christian on this one. So what's going on is celebrating Cremonica. Basically, families are blending religious traditions. The highlighted family, this one, they're blending Christmas and Hanukkah. So the thing is, what they do is, you know, they celebrate Christmas and they celebrate Hanukkah. So then you have, they're highlighting different families, how some celebrate the Muslim beliefs as far as holidays goes, and then you have some that follow the Christmas, and they're just blending them. And they say the time progresses, more and more religious values are being blended as one.
Mm.
So this is my issue with the thing. This is my whole issue about it. It's like, I can, to be honest with you, I can respect a Muslim who is firm on his beliefs more than a Christian who is willing to compromise with everybody.
Mm.
And that's the whole thing about it. The issue is, what are you standing for? If you really look at history itself, the men who have been honored, men and women, excuse me, who have been honored or who have been exalted to a higher level of leadership are the ones who were firm on their belief system, who were willing to die, if not did die, for what they believed in that change in that era or whatever it may have been. Even Hitler, evil self, is exalted as a powerful leader because he was firm in his beliefs,
mm-hmm.
firm at that. So my issue is, like, how much do you compromise? How much do you give away? And I feel like there is no compromise when it comes to the beliefs, to the faith. So this is what it is. This is our values. And the thing about it is, it's becoming so watered down. Because Christmas, truthfully, it's not about the tree, about the gifts, about the presents, about all the little dinner parties and all that stuff. That's not what Christmas is about. You know, it's truthfully supposed to be about the birth the Son of God who came down to die for us, his actual birth, our love for him, actually our gifts should be going to him, our praises, our worship, our thanksgiving, our unity and our love. Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the commandment that he left for us is to love one another. So that's what the essence of Christmas is supposed to be, is to be loving one another. So my thing is, you know, I'm ready for your feedback, is what is your feelings on it? Because I know I need to hear different perspectives on this topic, because it honestly frustrates me. Like I said, I can respect somebody who's firm in their belief, who's not a Christian, than the Christian who's willing to compromise with every other belief.
Well, the problem here lies that old C word, like you said, compromise. I really believe that they should not compromise.
Truth.
Because, I mean, if you've given up on one religion, actually you've given up on two religions and saying, hey, these religions aren't commercial enough, or we have too many people that's this side and that side, we need to please everybody and merge them. This is not a basketball team. We're not states. Not countries trying to merge. It's a religious belief. So right now, by merging the two, you disrespecting those individuals that believe in the one or the other.
Right.
Saying that your religion is important, but we need to be a little bit more important to what we're doing here as far as commercializing it. And I don't think that is right, period.
Agreed.
I mean, it's already bad enough that, you know, we're dropping different things from what Christmas is all about, changing it from Christmas to Xmas to a holiday season.
Oh, God.
You know? So, I really disagree with that. The simple fact that you're just trying to compromise so everybody can be happy, it's not one of those things that everybody needs to be happy. Everybody needs to respect each other's religion, bottom line. Like, we need to respect, you know, as Christians, we need to respect other religions. If you want to go out there and witness and tell them, you know, what the real deal is, that is our job. To go out there and minister. Well, how are you going to minister to somebody that, okay, we're merging, so this is talking about, but hey, I'm on this side, all right? I mean, we all still want better. No, it's not going down like that. That's just like us giving up on the war on terrorism, which is not going to end. I can go on dates for that, and just merge with the terrorists. I forget it. You know what? Since we can't beat y'all, we going to join y'all, you know. We going to destroy all the bad people that's doing the bad things that we believe in, and y'all continue doing what y'all do. So then you got both sides of killing everybody.
True.
You know, it can't go down like that.
And that's real. The Bible even says you can't serve two masters. You can't.
Come on now. That's crazy.
So, moving forward, so this young 11-year-old Michigan boy, he goes fishing, or he goes hunting for crayfish, and he winds up pulling out a 13,000-year-old mastodon bone.
Wow.
The little boy was deeply excited. He said, I thought it was a rock at first, but a couple of minutes later, I looked more at it, and it didn't look like what it was. It was a dinosaur bone, but I wasn't sure.
He wasn't sure.
Those are words exactly, Eric Statman. But it's amazing that you never know. You never know what you can get pulled into, what you get tied into, just being open. And I really pulled this article because of the amazing children amaze me.
Cool.
I don't want any, but I'm probably going to have some. But children amaze me due to their innocence and their openness to life. You know what I mean? We get, as we grow older, we start to pull back from things. We get become closed-minded and all kind of craziness. But children, due to their openness in life, they enjoy life to a whole nother level than we can.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen kids, like, you put, like, a 5-year-old and 8-year-old in a room, and ain't nothing but a paper clip, a sheet of paper, and a sticky note. And they make planes. They make a board game.
Let me call the 18. I'm a diver.
It could be dangerous, but it's like the most beautiful thing because a kid doesn't need all that stuff to be happy. You don't see them saying, "Well, if I just had." Eventually, when they grow up, they start wanting more. But I'm saying, as the innocence of a child, like all I want is leave me a room. Even I've seen a child in a house full of nothing. And they just started playing hide-and-go-seek. You know what I mean? They make the best out of everything. So I admire the innocence of a child to where it's like, he's like, I'm going to go catch some crayfish. And he messed around and pulled out a mastodon bone that you have scientists who search the world for things like this with all the tools they need.
And they need.
Not find it. But a child who had a fishing rod.
So very primitive.
Very primitive. So, you know, that's just, with that story, I just encourage, you know, let's go back to our child days as far as enjoying life and seeing where it, and what it brings us.
Uh-huh. I agree. I definitely agree.
Politics real quick. Hillary Clinton, she thinks she has a concussion. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sustained a concussion after becoming dehydrated and fainting. And
wow.
No longer testified Thursday before the House of Foreign Affairs Committee on the deadly attack on the U.S. consul in Bizana, Libya. Clinton suffered from stomach viruses at this time, according to the statement on Saturday from Philippe Renz, Deputy Assistant of the Secretary of State. So just putting out some information on what's going on with that, you know, prayers to Hillary Clinton. I feel like we should always pray for our people in position of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great task on their hands.
Exactly. We have a caller on line one. Let's go to our caller here. Okay, I lost the caller. Hopefully they will call back. Caller, line one. I'm sorry. I might have done something wrong. But I do apologize. Hopefully I'll call back here. So you go ahead. You go ahead and finish with Hillary until our caller calls.
That was done by Hillary. And this is the last statement, last article we're going to go over, the last bit of news, is the taxes on the big gifts slated to soar. What the Americans are scrambling to transfer their riches before the end of this year when the gift taxes are set to jump. Currently, gift taxes in the states of up to $5.12 million are exempt from taxes. But as of the fiscal cliff, any bequest of more than $1 million will be taxed next year and at a rate of 55%. The current rate is 35%. This will kick in unless Congress and the President agree to extend the current exemption or agree to a new one. Many older Americans are not waiting to see this happen. It's crazy, Richard Burnett, Director of the State Planning and Private Wealth Management, says. So this is the thing that we're dealing with. Like, you know, I was talking to you before the show about this topic about how, you know, I understand, like, how the wealthier may get taxed more because, you know, we're in different tax brackets. They make more money. Why not tax them more? I understand that to a degree. But to tax somebody 55%, that's ridiculous. That's truly ridiculous. And I'm really hoping that they do come up with a plan, the Congress and the President do come up with an agreement, because this can really change our economy for the negative. Because a lot of people say, yeah, tax the wealthy and more money come in. But thinking about the wealthy's mind state, if you're making money and because you make so much more money, you're bound to lose more money. Well, I'm already paying the people that I have that work for me. I think I need to cut back on jobs. This is the kind of thing that can happen when you start taxing people out of their hard-earned money. And also, I was thinking from a standpoint, what if I was in that tax bracket of the $1 million? I definitely don't want to get taxed more because I worked harder to earn money. So not thinking from a broke standpoint, but thinking from just everybody, devil's advocate kind of thing. This
okay,
is a tough situation.
I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and go on to our caller here. See, the president called back. Hold on.
Okay.
Caller, you're on here with the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Yvonne Ferguson. I don't know why the call keeps dropping. I'm not sure what's going on here. Caller, area code 256. First three numbers of your telephone number is 234. Please call back. There's something going on. I don't know if it's a technical issue on our end. Because for sure, this time I know. I thought I did something wrong the first time. But it wasn't on my end here. So I don't know what's going on. So I do apologize. So if we get a chance, please call us back. Back to the subject. I guess my deal is with the taxes. It's almost a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say that is because the poor has been taxed for so long, and now it's time to tax the rich. And I totally understand, if we were on that side of the coin, but we want to get taxed at that rate. No, you wouldn't want to.
Right.
But I think if you want to take some strain off of your the local economy, the mom and pop spot,
yes,
those guys, that would definitely take the stress off of those guys.
Oh, definitely.
But at the same time, like you were saying, as I'm a big corporation and you're going to tax me this big amount of 50.6%, now I got to lay people off, so we back at square one.
Yes.
Yeah, so I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I really hope our caller calls back. But I dislike technical issues.
I understand.
Yes. So what we're gonna do? I'm sorry. Was that the last story?
Yeah, we can end it right there. Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm gonna do is go ahead to a song, so maybe that individual will have time to call back, and then we'll be right back. For the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Mark Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And what we're going to play is something very, very, very special. Do you hear what I hear? Heather Headley. Time for that Christmas music. Here on the Covenant Cafe.
back to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And that was Heather Headley, Do You Hear What I Hear? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go into the weird news portion of our show. I'd like to start off by, let's talk about this gentleman by the name of Nathan Grendel. He was kicked out of a darts tournament for looking like Jesus. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he was kicked out. The story goes like this. Looking like Jesus turned out to be a cross to bear for Nathan Grendel, whose resemblance to the King of Kings caused him to be kicked out of a darts tournament in Somerset, Great Britain. Grendel, 33, who has long hair and full beard, he started growing for 4 months. Was sitting in the crowd at the tournament when someone nearby, spectators, began to chant Jesus. Jesus.
Oh my God.
During a final match between Phil Taylor and Miss Kim Hubert, the others joined in the chant until most of the 4,500 people in the arena were chanting the Almighty name. It got so ridiculous that security staff decided to remove Grendel, fearing his presence was upsetting the concentration of the players, as well as hurting the enjoyment of the viewers at home. As might be expected, the experience left Grendel, a laborer by trade, quite cross. It was distressing. I was emotional, distraught, he said, according to the Global Dispatch. The crowd were bullying me and picking on me. It would have been okay if security hadn't made a fuss getting me out. At his post-match interview, Phil Taylor said something like, if I ever see Jesus again, I'll crucify him.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Now, that's a very hurtful statement there. Very blasphemous. Taylor won the match. He beat Kim, the runner-up, showed him more grace in defeat, making a point of signing Grendel's program with the words, Jesus Harlot Mate. The experience has left Grendel a little skittish about attending future tournaments. I love darts, but I'm worried about ever going to see it live again, just in case the crowd turns him. Like they did last time.
What?
Yes. It says, meanwhile, David Allen, spokesman for Professional Darts Corporation, told the paper that Grendel was ejected to prevent his presence becoming a nuisance to the players.
Wow.
Now statements like, I'm going to crucify. Really?
Really?
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty deep. You know, he's saying stuff like as if it's supposed to be funny games, but it's still very blasphemous statement.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That's something.
Are you ready to weigh in on this one?
It's a lot of things going through my mind. Like, one, okay, how does it... I don't have anything to say. All I have to say is, wow, like... I can only imagine... The closest thing I ever got to something like that was somebody said I look like the Jesus painting, the black Jesus painting. and I didn't get any problems like that, like any blasphemous statements or nothing. So I just... This is the first for me. I never...
Yeah. Now, this next story is very interesting because Ms. Rachel McCarty's driveway was stolen. How can this happen? A lot of people are saying, how can you steal a driveway? It says, forget about highway robbery. One Florida woman says, thieves stole her driveway. Rachel McCarty, 40, told investigators she arrived at her Reddick home after work, about 6 p.m., Tuesday, and felt a strange bump. I noticed there was something different, definitely different, missing in my peripheral vision. The 200 paving bricks that had previously been used to make a driveway were gone. I thought it was very bold and brazen and bothersome. But one of McCarthy's neighbors said she saw two men digging up the driveway but didn't think they were committing a crime. She figured it was somebody who worked for us and was picking it up, you know, just picking up stuff, you know, just kind of making changes to the driveway.
Yeah.
But on Thursday night, the neighbor called that saying that the two men had returned and were taking more bricks. Anthony Jones, 49, was arrested in connection with the Thursday incident, but police have not confirmed his involvement with the first incident.
Are people still in driveways now?
Driveways.
Oh my God. Like,
driveways. Now, the last weird news story for this evening is the feather was pulled from the baby Maya Whittington's neck by doctors.
I saw that. Explain. I want to hear this.
Okay. Just for the neck of time, no pun intended, doctors in Kansas treating a seven-month-old girl thought the child had a swollen gland until they made a frightening discovery, a feather poking out of the baby's neck. Initially, doctors prescribed antibiotics and sent little Maya home with her parents, but then her jaw swelled to the size of a golf ball. In a follow-up visit, a doctor saw something poking out of Maya's swollen jaw. She put on her gloves and plucked a feather out of the baby's neck. They pulled a feather out of her neck. Doctors believe Maya swallowed or inhaled the feather, which apparently pierced the inside of her cheek or throat. The body, being crazy as it is, had rejected it and started forcing it out. Doctors said Maya was probably in a lot of pain, but her mom, Emma, said her daughter cried only when nurses poked at it. Maya's neck is still enlarged, but doctors have said it's going to still go down on its own. My thing is, how do you swallow a feather?
Yes.
And another thing is, okay, hold on, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Our call has called back. Let's try to go back to our line again here. Caller, you're on the air with the Company Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
Miss Slate, standing at Alabama Spirituals. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
We do apologize for the technical difficulties. I saw you called in earlier. I was trying to switch you over. I'm not sure what happened there, but we're glad you made it through.
Oh, yes. I just got a chance to tune in.
I really, really appreciate it. Now, Poetic Lace, he will be doing an interview with you this evening.
Yes.
So, just for starters, I definitely want to commend you and the entire group, you men of God. I'm so blessed and honored to be speaking with you guys. It's just a blessing in all the great things you have done. And I would love my co-host to give you guys our recession-proof gift.
Our recession-proof gift. We have to break this down, though. A lot of people don't understand. We are still in a recession. So what we have to do to all our people that we interview, because we don't have any money, any funds, we have to give them a lift here.
Okay.
Definitely appreciate you on the show. Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay. For starters, so I'm going to act as if we don't know anything about you guys. We don't know anything about the awards. We don't know anything about you guys. We want to know who is the Alabama Spirituals. Who are all? What are the names of the group, and who are you guys?
Okay. Okay, the Alabama Spirituals. We are based out of Alexander City, Alabama. The members of the group, we have the Pastor Eddie L. Hunter, Reverend Bobby Joe Hunter, myself, Stan Hunter, Quentin Burns, Lee Burns, and Rodriguez Taylor. And we've been out here on this mission over 25 years, and God has been good to the ministry. We get to travel all over the country ministering in songs, and it's just been a good journey.
Amen. 25 years, that is a beautiful number. Can I ask, how did you guys come together? How did this vision come upon you guys?
The vision started with my mom. My mom and dad, they sung, you know, in their lifetime, and they instilled it in, you know, in us as kids, you know, to come up in gospel music. We wanted to do other things, but my mom was rooted and grounded in gospel. And, you know, once we got in it, we really loved it, and that's why we've been in it so long.
Beautiful. Now, just looking over some of you guys' awards, I mean, you won the Traditional Group Album of the Year in Staten Island. You were nominated for Traditional Group Album of the Year, Gospel Music Association Dove Award. It's a list. It's a good list. And with all these accomplishments, I can't help but ask, what are some of the trials and tribulations that you guys had to go through as a group that you guys overcame that kept you guys so strong and motivated to push forward?
Sometimes, you know, as Christians, sometimes some of us are not saved. And sometimes, you know, we have to keep pressing our way through to let them know that there is a God, even though, you know, some are convinced to be Christian, but they are not. But our job is to let people really realize to see God in us first. Then once they see it in us, they know it's a true and living God. That's what our ministry is all about.
Beautiful. So I have to ask you my favorite question. I ask all the guests this, whether it be independent or major. My question is, basically, I come from an urban background, which is a nice way of saying the ghetto. And with that being said, I deal with a lot of people who feel they don't have a reason to hold or to seek God. They feel that because of their environment, that's what they are struck down to, and they will be bound by that. So what I love my guests to do is to share that testimony of what God has done for you, where God has brought you from, your encounter with God that causes you to proclaim the gospel as strong as you do.
I can remember back when we was coming up as a youngster, we used to hear our parents talk about God and Jesus, you know, what he would do for you in your life. We didn't understand until we really got to get out there, really got to feel the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit took over, we realized this is what our mom was trying to talk to us all about. Sometimes we are kids growing up, we don't listen. We say, oh, they just old, they don't know what they're talking about. Once the Spirit of God hits you, and sometimes once you get out there and get to singing these songs, you really get to call on the name of Jesus. Then once the Spirit takes over, you say, well, that's what they were trying to tell me. Then this is what I don't ever want to lose. If you call on the name of Jesus, it don't matter where you come from, your background, no one is exempt from being saved. You want to call on the name of the Lord, he will save you. There's nothing bad that you have so bad you've done, you cannot be saved.
True. And I'm thankful that you shared that, because I want, just coming from your perspective and your experiences, it speaks volumes to a lot of listeners to know that it doesn't matter where you're from or how you look, who you think you are, if you call on the name of Jesus. You know, that's funny that you said it, because that was the opening scripture about confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, we do have a song, Worthy Is He. Now, can you tell me, tell the listeners a little about your inspiration for writing this song, and what was the main drive for this particular song? Hey, Colin? Hello?
Hello, okay. I think my previous one, I saw him. Repeat that question again, sir.
Well, that's no problem. The song that we have that we're going to play is Worthy Is He. Now, can you tell us some of the main inspiration behind this particular song?
Yes, Worthy Is He wrote by my brother, this little old man, the Reverend Bobby Joe Hunter. I also a co-writer on that song. He was going through some trying times back in his life, you know, with family and wife and kids and all. Then, you know, one thing about it, even though you're going through trials and tribulation, no matter if it's family or whoever, one thing about it, so you still got to praise God. He is still worthy to be praised no matter what trial and tribulation you're going through. You got to praise Him, even though we're going through some things. You still have to praise Him.
Awesome. All right. What we're going to do, we're going to go to the song, and then we'll come back to you right after the song, okay?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Alabama Spirituals, Worthy Is He, on the Covenant Cafe.
Hallelujah. God meant to you. Can I get a witness to you? Sometimes when I can see my way, she made a way, and he's so worthy. I tell him sometimes, I've been my mother when mother was gone, and you are so worthy. I think about it just one lifetime of loving you, Jesus. Wouldn't be long enough. Oh, yeah. He's been good to me. He brought me. He saw me. He kept me. God ain't never left me. He kept been good to me. Somebody know what I'm talking about here. Yeah. Have been good to me? Lift up my hand and I'll praise your name, Jesus.
I'll praise your name. All right,
now. Amazing.
Amazing, beautiful. Now, that's one of those songs. Hey, I'm going to take you to church. He's going to take you to church.
Yes.
Definitely took us to church.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You said that?
Yeah. Real quick, I know everyone has a different writing process. So what is one of your writing process when you develop your song?
What we do is, my brothers and dads, we look at God, get us some insight on how we should write the song. We should, every song that's written should be uplift him, not ourselves, to get, show. But it should be inspiration to uplift him. That's what it should be all about.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. You can go ahead there, Lace.
All right. This is my question. Do you know how to fry chicken? Hello?
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
Oh, my question is, do you know how to fry chicken?
Like fried chicken?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I do.
Because what I hear is in Alabama, you guys can fry some good chicken, so I definitely had to throw that out there.
Oh, I think we do real well on that chicken, dude.
I'm a chicken connoisseur myself. I'm trying to travel everywhere and get some good fried chicken, so I had to ask that.
That's what it is.
But my final question for you is, we want to support you. We want to support you guys. We want to, be there to be a part of this ministry. How can we follow you guys as far as Facebook, Twitter? Is there a website? What events do you have coming up? Any albums? We want to know any way we can support and get your music and be a part of this, because it's a blessing for us.
You can go to the record company. You can go to www.mcgrecords.com/the Alabama Spirituals. You can go online. You can listen. They can listen to the music, and they can also buy it off the line and everything like that. You can also go to our Facebook page, the Alabama Spirituals. On Facebook, you can pick us up there, and we'll have listings on where we should be at and the concerts coming up in the future on next year. They go online. They can find that.
Yes, sir.
All right. We definitely appreciate. I'm sorry, you had one more thing, Paul?
Oh, no, it's on you. That's it.
Okay. I'd like to just let you know we definitely appreciate you taking your time and coming on our show.
Sure, and thank you all for giving me the privilege to come.
No problem. And let me tell you what, you enjoy your evening. What's for dinner? And what's the average dinner plate in the Alabama household? What would that consist of?
The dinner plate. let me see. Most of all, we have chicken and greens.
That's what I'm talking about. I need to make a trip to Alabama ASAP.
Sometimes they throw the pig feet and all that stuff. I don't know if y'all eat that, but they throw some of that in there.
Okay.
We thank you. And we thank you. And we plan to get some of that Alabama chicken.
Okay.
Oh, you have a good evening. And we like
yes,
to appreciate
sir.
You
thank
for coming
you
on
all.
The show. Okay.
All righty.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song definitely was a definitely traditional. We going just straight up. You're not playing. You're going to straight up take you to church.
Yeah.
Right there in your car. Right there in your car. And your headphones. Whatever you listen to us on. Your iPod, your MyPod, your MePod, whatever you got.
Beautiful.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, what we got to do, we have to pay our bills. So we got to go into a commercial break. And right after our commercial break, we'll come back with the poetic spot here on the Cover of the Cafe. This is your host, Lamar Ferguson, and
Poetic Bass.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speaking Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKB Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all chinitas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
This is the Poetry Spot, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it through into the universe. Sweeping down time and speaking new languages. Leave till it's freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with rest and less stress to confine its motionless mind. Dimming light. Till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked mind. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine line, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave.
This is the D Poetry Spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Poetry Spot. Now, I have something special. Of course, we have something from Poetic Lace. I'm going to play one of my favorite artists right now, Lecrae. He has a song called Lucky Ones. It's pretty dope. And the piece that I'm going to read to you guys today, I found this is an inspirational poem. It's actually a short story. It's not really a poem. It's just a short story. It's called The Precious Stone, and it's written by Inspirational Poem. Once again, that
The story is called The Precious Stone, written by Inspiration Poems. Not poetic, Lace, not Lamar Ferguson. This is not our work. So I'm going to put that out there. Okay, The Precious Stone, it starts off like this. A wise woman who was traveling in the mountains found a very unique and precious stone in a small river. The next day, she met another traveler who was hungry, and the wise woman opened her pack to share her food. The hungry traveler saw a special stone in the wise woman's bag, appreciated it, and asked the wise woman to give it to him. The wise woman did so without hesitation. The traveler left, rejoicing in his good luck. He knew the stone was worth enough to live peacefully for the rest of his life. But a few days later, he came back searching for the wise woman. When he found her, he returned the stone and said, "I have been thinking. I know how valuable the stone is, but I give it back to you in the hope that you can give me something much more precious. If you can, give me what you have within you that enabled you to give me the stone." Wow. Come on. He knew how precious this stone was. It was so precious that he could live comfortably for the rest of his life. But yet he returned it. He wanted what she had to give.
That's powerful.
Yes, enough to give up that much power to someone. And that's just...
That touched my heart too, because that's like, you know, what God was saying. Like, it's not the blessing that you want. You should want me, because you should want the source. I want that love, whatever love that, you know, what I'm seeing from what he's saying. I want that love, whatever's inside of you that's powerful to give up something so powerful. And that just spoke volumes to me. Like, wow. Like. You know, I don't want the blessing. I want you.
I want you.
Power you have to give something so mighty to me. I want you, because you are the source. And that's just a beautiful thing, though. Just to look at it from that perspective as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just like the word. I mean, just like Jesus. Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, he gave his life for our sins.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's that poem. Excuse me, not poem, but story was a very unique story that I saw. I came across this on inspirational-poems.net. That's where I get a lot of the information. The poems and inspirational stories from, like I said before, this is not our work. This is the work of, you know, those individuals. You know, I want to make sure I put that out there so no one say, "Hey, they stole your stuff. They said it was theirs." No. Let's get into the song "Lucky Ones." Have you heard Lecrae's album yet?
I need to get it, but I've heard songs. I've heard songs, but I haven't heard the entire thing yet.
Yeah, I purchased it. It's a great buy. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Lecrae, Lucky Ones, here on the Covenant Cafe.
When it's all said and done, you and I are the lucky ones. Fallen beneath, and we'll fight the night until we see the sun. We are the lucky ones. We are the lucky ones. We are here.
Yeah. Under the sun I found, we were left to drown. Evil abounds, weight is pulling us down. No sight of sound, impaired to his care, chasing after the wind, running after the air, deserving of desertion, service of destruction, and every day we taste of a grace that we're unconcerned with. My sin I should be burned with. I'm guilty, filthy, and stained, but he became a curse, drank my cup and took my pain. Yeah, for that he reigns. Through faith I'm changed, and I don't have a reason why he loosened up my chain. I don't believe in luck, I believe in grace, but they say we're lucky cause we seen his face. Yeah, and we heard him call us, and he heard our answer, and he gives us second chances when we throw our hands up. So weary and broken, hoping his arms will be open. Unconditional love has got us locked into his focus. I guess we the lucky ones, huh? Yeah.
When it's all said and done, you and I are the lucky ones. We've fought many.
In my shame, guilt, my doubt, and my past. Fortunate to trust in you, cause I've doubted your plans. I've questioned your ways. Every question I raise is foolishness compared to mountains, the wind, and the waves. You're so mindful of us, and we rise from the dust. You love these cheating, beating hearts and these eyes full of lust. Gave us power to fight it, though we cower and quiet. We have the faith to start a riot, how can we deny it? Fire inside us that you kindle when it starts to dwindle. And simply put, I'm simple, so your love is essential. I don't believe in luck, no, I believe in grace. They say we're lucky because we've seen your face. Lord, we heard you call us, you heard our answer. And you give us second chances when we throw our hands up. I'm weary and broken, but your arms will be open. Unconditional love has got us locked into your focus.
See, I'm not saying I'm always right.
No, I ain't always right.
And I ain't saying that I'm perfect.
I know I ain't perfect.
And I know I don't deserve it.
I surely know I don't deserve it.
But I'm glad I got this life.
But you love me.
I'm glad that I got
you. Love me, you forgive me.
That makes me love.
Thank you.
We lucky because we see his face. That is a true blessing. I had when I was looking at Jacob, you know, Jacob, the story in Genesis, when he became Israel, because he wrestled with God and he prevailed, and he said, you know, woe unto me, for I've seen God's face, yet I still live. And a lot of times we don't keep it real with ourselves, like how sin, that God is holy. He hates sin. And we were born into sin. And for us to be able to pray and our prayers are heard is truly an amazing thing. That is a blessing that he would send his son to die for us so that we can have a relationship.
Exactly.
So we are extremely blessed. And every time, like, I get it when I talk to God, you know, I was at one point, I was like, God, woe unto me. Like, who am I for you to hear my prayer? For I'm filthy. Yeah, still, you have a love for me that you look past all of that. And I think it's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful song.
Beautiful. Now, we're gonna go into Poetic Lace, the song. Thank you. And we're gonna discuss it right after it goes up, okay?
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Poetic Lace. Thank you.
I'm on a mission at the house cooking dope, but I ain't in the kitchen. I'm in a room with a pad and a pencil. Bible on the right, oil on the left. The spirit in the mind, Christ in my chest. Bags under eyes, cause I'm getting no rest. My mama told me that these signs of stress will go away when you understand that God will bless you. Sammy, can you chew? It's a tough shocker, call it Pikachu. I keep attempting murder, yeah, that's true. Never went to court, so no sign was true. I thank you, Christ, for saving my life. You always hold me down, I feel like your wife. You have my heart, yeah, that's how I feel. Please know that my love is so real.
I thank you, Lord, for all that you
done.
I love you with my heart and my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done.
I never would have made it this far.
Yes, God, I take the background. You can have a driver's seat, I won't make a sound. You can get all the glory, I'll buy that. We can do what you want, God, it's your time. I'm writing your game like a pencil. Wait. I'm just a utensil. A year ago I was stressing. Now I'm in my bedroom trying to count my blessings. Wordplay so sick, got two. But I can't sneeze unless I have you. God first on my mental, it's more than sentimental. You got my heart bumping like a pimple. I'm getting healthy, love, something nutritious. People feeling the flame like delicious. I never fathom to excite like a phantom. Rocking up a crowd, something like a phantom. I'm kicking problems down like Johnny Cage. Get over here, I'm scorpion in a rage. This combat's not between mortal demons. I suggest you get back in your part of.
I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done.
You done.
I never would have made it this far.
So I really want to thank the Lord. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be a boy. This shit that's traveling to the north. Or should I call it the top? Cause we're grinding for my fam and the people couldn't get on top. Don't stop, little bro, that's what they shot. Keep going, P-L-A, that's what I say. Don't quit, baby boy, take it all the way. And I won't, cause quitting is a major don't. Go hard every day, it's a major quote. Glory goes to God with steps I take. God first on my mind, so you can't shake me. Confidence at a new high, please. Stop laces, what they scream. No signs of system, though I'm chasing the dream. Was an outcast, now I'm fresh, just so clean.
Yes, sir. See, it's only right that you say thank you when silence falls. No need to keep quiet. I don't know about you, but God has brought me through a lot. So with that being said, let's bring in that thank you hook one more time before we close the song.
I thank you, Lord, for all that
you've done.
I love you with my heart and my soul.
I thank
you, Lord, for all that
you've done.
I never would have made it this far.
It's basically a thank you track, and it's a true thank you. I was coming out the library one day, and I wrote the song already, and I knew how the vocals should sound, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to sing it. Because I didn't know, because I hadn't met a singer that had the vocals for it. And I hear a homeless guy on the piano in the downtown library, and he's playing the piano, and he has some amazing vocals. And I was like, Lord, what, do I have to go talk to him? I don't want to seem gay by just walking up and saying, I like your voice. And Lord, I was like, stop clowning. Go talk to him. You play too much. And so I went up to him, and I was like, man, you have some great vocals. He was just like, thank you. He's excited. It's just that I walked up to him. And I was like, my name is Poetic Lays to the Dead. Would you sing on a gospel song? And he was like, yeah. I was really excited. I gave him a card. He was thrilled. I was like, I don't know how you're going to do it, but find some way to call me. And sure enough, he did. He found a way to call me. And, you know, it's so much going on. Like, just a sidebar note, there are ways to get free communication, people. All you have to do is look. This homeless guy had a cell phone. But back to the note, he got a cell phone. He called me. We got in the studio. He was extremely nervous. He was so nervous because he was like, he never been, you know, he didn't know what he could do, what he couldn't do around me. And I was like, man, no, you're making me bigger than what it is. You're making this whole situation too big. Just do you. You know, God is here. You know what I mean? As an artist, you know, I'm not arrogant or anything. As a person, I'm not arrogant. So just do you. And that's how I came out. And I don't know if he really exists, to be honest with you. Like, I'm going to keep it real talk. I don't know if he was an angel or what, because I later on called the guy. Called the same number and everything. This is months later when I finally got my CDs and stuff. I said, man, I was calling him to give him a CD. I called him, and he never picked up. So then he texted me, and he was like, who's this? I'm like, this is Poetic Lace. We just did a song together. And he was like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, your name is Kenneth. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, this is your number. I said the number. He's like, yeah. So you're dark skinned and da-da-da. Describe it to you. He's like, yeah. I like, we just did a song less than a month ago together. It's on my album. I haven't released it yet. Da-da-da. I don't know what you're talking about. I never met you. I don't know anything you're saying. Mind you, we spent weeks together leading the track. Wow. So for that to happen, I was like, you know what? He's not a real person. God just answered my prayers. I got those vocals. And, you know, the gospel is proclaimed. Simple as that. So, you know, I think that's an angel's voice, y'all. So y'all really listening. And y'all tell me.
Definitely a very interesting story. So when you make it the big time, don't forget the little people.
I definitely would not.
The people that I'm worrying on the little people.
Man, I'm doing this for God, so I'm still me regardless of where it's at, wherever I get elevated to, you know.
Exactly. I'm with you, man. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll go into another song. This young lady we interviewed a few weeks ago, Gail Fly. This young lady is on fire. She's on fire. The name of the song is In the Presence of the Lord, here on the Covenant Cafe.
No other place I'd rather be than in the presence of the Lord. Oh, I know we're
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, she was a very interesting young lady to speak with, very energetic.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very energetic. We definitely got to get her back on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And the thing is, like, and it's funny because her name, Gail Fly, I mean, like, her whole personality fits what her name
yes.
is.
Yes.
She has a very fly personality. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, this is the Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Burke Sedan.
Poetic Lace.
And we've touched upon a lot of stuff, and we're actually just talking about how fly Gail was when she called in on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We got to definitely get her back. There's a lot of people we have to definitely get back on the show. There's a lot of people that we have to get on the show.
Yes.
So if you're definitely interested in getting on our show, just let us know, you know, and we can make that happen. Now, I would like to touch on a couple of things that we did touch upon earlier. Like I said, if you're just tuning in, we did discuss the horrible incident that happened on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was horrendous. Sometimes I'm not an eye for an eye, 242 type of guy, but in this particular case, I really, really, really wish he did not kill himself.
Hmm.
I wish he was able to sit there in the courtroom and look at the parents, look at the husbands, the wives, you know what I mean, the cousins, the friends, to look at them in their face and seeing what you – this has affected so many people directly as well as indirectly.
True.
You know, the direct connection, the immediate family, the friends that were right there involved, the indirect connection, those surrounding the community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just going to change that community for the rest of their lives, young
sure.
and old.
Sure. But in dealing with that, this is, what people have to keep in mind is that, you know, God is real. You know, a lot of people say they believe in God and everything, but keep in mind that God is real, and since God is real, He is the ultimate judge, and He is righteous and fair, mercy and grace, as well as He has a wrath as well. So the thing about it is, you know, though dude killed himself, he has to meet the ultimate judge sooner. So be honest with you, you know, him sitting through the court process and, you know, seeing the parents and then rotting in jail and everything. You know, true enough, I mean, I actually feel sorry that he killed himself. Not because I want him to go through that process, but it's because now he has rejected a chance of salvation. So, to be honest with you, he's going through something worse than it would be if he were still alive. Because there is no, when you die, that's it. There is no second chance. So now, and because he committed suicide, he can't repent because he murdered himself. And it was pride that took it. So, you know, looking deeper into the subject, what people have to realize that, because you know, a lot of people are angry over the fact because they feel like justice won't be served, but true enough, justice is served and is going to be served, and we have to take our pride out of the situation because it's only self-satisfaction to see that it's a self-satisfying thought, like, okay, well, he's going to pay for what he did because we can see it, but truthfully, he's dealing with something far worse now. And we have to keep in mind, like, yeah, he's done. It's dealt now. It's done. What he did is done. And what he's going to deal with is going on for a hot minute, literally hot. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, keeping in mind how real God is. And if we're going to be believers, we have to understand that even God, Jesus said, you know, vengeance is the Lord's. So God handles that. God will take care of that. And everything that he's dealing with now is severe. His waiting until judgment day is severe. You know, all this is, there's no chance for salvation for him now. And I just pray for mercy upon future things. You know what I mean? Like, this is, it's like, it was a horrible act. But the thing is, we can't allow hatred to build up in our hearts. hatred towards him, hatred towards anything else. We can't even start, because this kind of thing, it makes it does make life harder, because now, example, like with the bombings at the airport, now anybody that looks, that wears a turban is a suspect when they come in the airport. You know what I mean? Things like this does, it makes it harder, and hatred builds up in the heart, unnecessary hatred. So we have to do, basically, in this time period, this is why it's like, it's very important that we pray and we promote pulling closer to God, because hate right now is building up. Anger, disappointment, depression, these spirits are building up, and more times than none, I've dealt with a lot of people who, when tragedy struck, they forgot God. And these were people who are on fire, like, oh, I love God, this and that, da, da, da. But now they pull away. Speaking of that, since you touched it, this is a topic that's been on my mind that I really want to bring to people's attention. Have you noticed that non-believers, when they go through something, they pull to God. And when God brings them out, they leave. But believers, when they go through something, they're quick to disregard God's existence.
Wow.
So why is this a common thing? Why is this a trend? Why isn't it that the believer pulls closer to God? Why does it take a knot for us to learn from non-believers to pull to we? As soon as something happens, oh, God ain't with us, da da da. But on the other end, as soon as something happens, they in the church, they dancing, they worship, they doing whatever it takes to get their breakthrough. But as a believer, we don't do that. But when it's all good, you know, God is good, is that, and then they on some old. Man, whatever. And every now and then you hear a thank you, God, from the non-believer. But my issue is, as believers, that we should be pulling closer to God in tragic moments as well as non-tragic moments.
Exactly. I think my belief on this, on that question, your thoughts, is that people know about God. People know about Jesus Christ. People know, more people know how to get saved than the people that don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that, because I'm not trying to play the race card, but I know, I'm quite sure 90% of the black race have been to church.
Mm.
It may not be their own church, or they were raised in the church, they've been to the grandparents' church, somebody's church,
mm-hmm.
a grand church for a church function,
a funeral,
the holidays, Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the Mother's Day, all those holidays, they have been inside of somebody's church. A funeral,
mm-hmm.
they have went inside someone's church. So people know who Christ is. People know who to run to. Just like when you're a child and you're in the house and something hurtful happened and you run to your mom or your dad or whoever is the person that's taking care of you.
Right.
That's who you go to. So more times often than not, most people, I would say 90%. I want to go higher, but there might be some people that just, okay, look, I'm not 7 foot in church. But
yeah.
I would go as far as saying 90%. I know the black race has been to someone's church in some way, form, or fashion. Weddings,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Even white families. It may not be Baptist, but it was somebody's christening. You know what I mean? So people know God. People know Jesus. People
mm-hmm.
know how to. I would say 60% of people know how to get saved.
Mm.
Okay. But people know there's a higher source, a higher being, higher spirituality. People know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question far as the believers turning away from God, those are individuals who doubt God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why'd you take this person from me, God? I thought you was a good guy. God is
mm-hmm.
a sovereign God. God can do anything he wants to do.
So going deeper then,
yes.
that means the person who thought they were a believer was never a believer, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even the whole point of when Jesus was doing the miracles and the signs was so that they would believe.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are believing, like, to be honest with you, the more I've gotten into the faith, the less miracles to make me believe I've seen. And I'm just keeping it real, because it's like I don't need that anymore now, because he even said, blessed are you, Thomas, for you see me, but blessed are those who don't see me and believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, as we continue to grow, we should not need signs, because if we still, God, if you real, you do this and that. Are you really a believer? Can you really call yourself a Christian or a believer if you still need some kind of justification from God to know he's real? Now, I understand a non-believer because they never had an introduction. Like, people have had their experience. I've had experience with God. God has shown me his hand, and I was tripping because that's a miracle. Like, only God can do that. So, yeah, we do need those growing in the faith, but it gets to a point in the faith where you should not be requesting a miracle or a blessing or something that's going to be like, God, if you do this, God, I know you're real. You should be at a point where you don't need that anymore, to be honest with you.
Mm.
It almost makes you worse than an unbeliever. How can you say you chill with God, yet instead you still need signs to believe he's real? That's just like, you know, you chilling with me every day. You chill with me. You say you chill with me every day, yet still you don't even know that my name is Lace. You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense. It makes no sense. Then how can you say you chill with me then? I cannot chill with a person every day and not know their characteristics.
Mm. How can you go to a coffee shop every day that's green and has a funny looking figure on the building, and it's they serve is coffee and little cakes and knickknacks, and not know it's Starbucks?
Real talk. And you know, and this analogy is really to say that if you chill with God long enough, you know that God is not a genie nor a magician.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're not going to be trying to rub him to get some gifts up out of him, because you know that's when God don't respond to that. The more you chill with God, if you chill with God like you say, you'll know that. He's not a genie. So you can't rub him any kind of way and thinking you're going to please him to get something up out of him. That's if you chill with God.
But we always say this. It's not just us saying it. You always give thanks for your trials as well as your good times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, your trials prepare you for your good times.
Right, exactly.
Your trials prepare you for, okay, say like you've been preparing for a particular job. Your trials dealing with getting to that spot in life. Those are the times where when you pray, it prepares you for when you get in that spot.
Right.
So you can appreciate what you may receive.
Right.
You appreciate it.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
It's a building up process. Like, you know, say if God is about to raise you to a certain position, and before that, God keeps putting your trials before the getting this job, you have to deal with being patient, and you got to help a lot of people and everybody in and out your life, but nobody is really there for you, but you're there for everybody. Well, if you really look at it, this trial prepared you for, like, say you get a management position. It prepared you for that because you have to be there for everybody as a manager. You have to be patient. Your time is very important. And more times you're the head, so more times than none, you're going to be there for people, but people are not necessarily going to be there for you. So, you know, you have to look at life. It's like when you look back at everything, it's really a blessing because every event prepared you for right now. And what you're dealing with right now is preparing you for the next event. And so on and so on. It's a cycle that keeps going. It's each level prepares you for the next level. It's just like first grade, which prepares you for second grade. Second grade is preparing you for third grade. So forth and so forth. And in general, that first grade, you know, we can still look back at things we learned from first grade, which prepares us for life. So every level was important because 1 + 1, something I learned as a child, I still use it to this day because now I know that $1 plus another dollar, now I have $2.
It's automatic.
Foundation. Automatic. And that's how everything is in life. This is, you learn from it and it builds you up. It builds you up. And the problem is when we start forgetting that, that's when we get into trouble. Because if you forgot, like, shoot, if I speed on the highway and there's a cop car in the grass, I get pulled over. If you forget that after the first time it happened to you, you know, you're in trouble. You're in trouble again.
You know what? People don't realize something, though.
Hmm.
People don't realize what you said. You can't just rob them like a genie. Okay. Now, because you might be, honestly, you might be asking something that you're really not ready for.
Truth.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of things, like people that pray for $1 million, they won a lottery and they go crazy.
Yes.
You hear so many, you hear more tragic, not to say that I want one to win $1 million. Of course, everybody wants to win the golden ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a la Chocolate Factory style.
Mm-hmm.
But they prayed for this breakthrough financially,
mm-hmm.
and then they go crazy because they can't handle it. Because you got people, you don't realize who's going to call you. You're going to have calls from friends that you haven't heard or from. You know, people joke about it, but it's true. It's real. It's there for the reading.
Mm-hmm.
They come out the woodwork. You got people, your family members starting to talk to you, asking you for favors.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then when you give it to them, maybe you can't give it to them no more, then they cut you off. Oh, he think he too good. You know what I mean? Okay, I think I'm too good, so you getting on me because I won't continue to finance you, support you financially. You going to get mad at me? You know, money is destroyed. A lot of families, a lot of friends have killed people because they were unable to handle the pressures of dealing with that amount of money.
Sure.
It's not as easy as we think it is. You know, you may get $1,000, you're like, oh, man, you know, and you know how to handle $1,000 because you're like, okay, I can break this up. I can pay my rent. I can go buy me some sneakers. I can put a little away. I'm straight, but I still have to work. But this if you win a Powerball, sometimes they were $520 million. $500 million.
Mm.
That's almost an endless supply of money if you do it right.
Mm.
So therefore, people know, okay, you didn't blow that yesterday. You still got some of that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So you prayed for this, now you got it. Now it's destroying you because now you purchasing things that you wouldn't normally purchase. You go from getting the things that you needed to the things that you want to the things that you're buying because you're bored.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And when you start buying stuff that because you're bored, that means you're going to start getting into some other things that you're not even supposed to be messing with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So these are the steps that happen. And then when these people start calling you, and it may be simple requests. These people that may really need help, these are family members that you know all your life, that you know for sure that they need help. But now it's a influx of calls that you're not not used to.
Mm.
I can count on my hands the people that actually contact me on a regular basis.
Likewise.
Family-wise. You know what I mean? So I can, you know, everyone has that. T-Mobile used to say Fab Five. Fab Five. Everyone know those five people that they know that's going to contact them, whether they're the five friends and family that's included in that five. But when you exceed that amount, and they're going to start calling you and calling you, your phone ringing on the hood, you got to change your phone. All of a sudden, these people got your phone number again. Oh, you think you're too good. You know, as a matter of fact, I had to stop a student the other day, not because they had $1 million. But this gentleman, he this is a fifth grade class. The kid got up front. Finally, we were about to go to outside recess or something. But he got up front, and the kid behind him made a statement. He said, man, you always think you're too good. You're too good. I said, what's wrong? What's wrong with thinking he's too good? He think he's good at everything. Okay, what's wrong with that?
Mm.
He think he's all that. But I was like, okay, you're still not answering my question.
True.
if you do not, and I put this on my Facebook status the other day, if you do not believe in yourself, no one will believe in you. Why can't you think that you're all that? I don't care what I play, what game I'm playing, what I'm doing, I'm going to say, yes, I'm the best at it until, okay, you beat me in a race. Okay, I got to believe that I'm something to get to that point.
Seriously.
I can't sit down and play a game of cards, or I can't sit down and play Madden and say, hey, man, you know what? You know what? You might beat me because I'm not that good. You're going to sit there, you're going to get your team that you know how to work with and say, hey, dude, I'm about to beat you. Even though you know this guy might beat you. I know this guy at the group home that I work at, but he's not there no more. He used to play football, you know, collegiate football. This dude was very good at playing Madden because, you know, that's what he's used to playing football in real life, so he knows plays. I just sit there next to him like, oh, I'm going to play him, but I know he's going to beat me anyway. No, I'm just sitting there and play. I don't know what he's half, but after that, he ran away with the game. But the moral story is you have to believe in yourself no matter. As long as you're not being conceited, that's different. But if you believe in yourself and you say, hey, I'm all that, whatever, it's okay. But the kid cannot answer the question is what my, I guess, what I'm getting to.
I feel you. You definitely have to believe in yourself, and you have to push yourself. And there's a thin line between arrogance and confidence. So make sure you don't cross that. But truthfully, you know, going on, everything is I got a couple friends that play pro ball, and they mostly said, it's not that the person that got the money changed, it's the people around them changed, so they had to change to adjust to it. I find that to be a very interesting topic because it's like, okay, I can't do the same things I used to do now that I have this much money because now look how people are acting towards me. So it's a double-edged sword kind of thing. Like you do have to change due to the stipulations of your new environment.
Yeah.
And also people are changing too because people around you change too because before they didn't care. But when I was a nobody, nobody cared. But now what I'm doing is a great thing. Everybody wants to know my name and chill with me. So it's like I have to change to adjust to that or I go crazy.
Yeah. And you got to say, I know we got 2 minutes, we got to get our word of the weekend, but you have to, when you're selling your CD, you're not going to say, hey, could you buy my CD? I think it's okay.
Heck no.
Of course not. You know what I mean? You're going to be like, hey, this is a bomb. I'm sorry, we got 90 seconds left. We have to give you guys the word of the week.
Okay, the word of the week comes from 2 Chronicles 12:14, and it says, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So basically, in short, even dealing with what we're talking about in your elevation as far as your plans and your growing, if you do not seek the God and seek God in everything you do, you're going to do evil acts. So everything has to be bound to God or else, because if you do not prepare your heart to seek God, you will do evil, straight up. Hands down, there's nothing else to it.
There it is. This is the Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
We're out of here in 30 seconds, ladies and gentlemen, and we will see you back here next week on the Covenant Cafe. It's been real. Unfortunately, some of the events that we talked to was very sad. But, hey, we got to lift our heads up and give everything to God, and we will be okay.